We're going through our doctrinal statement as it is. We have it posted on our website, and we're going through these different articles. So far, we've gone through these articles of the true God, of the sovereignty of God, of the scriptures, of the creation of man, of the fall of man, of the virgin birth of Christ, of the way of salvation. And we're now on Article 8. Of election and predestination. Election and predestination. These words make some people afraid. In the world today, there's a denial of these truths that are in the Word. But we have looked here, and we have these scriptures, these passages that tell plainly, and more that we're going to look at tonight, that tell plainly about the election, the selection of God of a people that He would save. As Brother Mark brought out, he also brought out in his Sunday school class something said that I had never heard before, but it's true. Had the Lord not chose some in heaven, there would be none. And that's the truth. It speaks to our depravity, how bad a shape mankind is. There's no flame to fan. There's no goodness to stir up. Salvation is indeed of the Lord. The article reads as this: we believe in the Bible doctrine of election and predestination, namely that God chose a multitude of people before the foundation of the world to bring salvation, and also predestinated the means by which in the fullness of time He would bring about this salvation. So we live here in time, and the Lord uses means, uses men, women, boys, and girls, uses His saints to be a witness of the truth, uses in our day, in the New Testament age, He uses His church. And what's that commission? What's that commission that's at hand? You remember what it is? It's spelled out in three parts there in Matthew chapter 28. To teach all nations. To teach them what? About the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To baptize those that believe. And then to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And these are things that the Lord has commanded. These are doctrines are at hand are to His churches, that we might understand more about God. And so the sinner is not called upon to understand these deep truths and this deep doctrine of the Lord. The sinner without Christ is called upon to repent and believe the gospel, to repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord has given this, and we've looked in these passages. In the book of Ephesians, who's that to? It's to one of the Lord's churches. In the book of Romans, who's that to? That book is written to the church at Rome. And so these are doctrines that are given to us. We're going to see about the working of the church by virtue of missionaries sent out, and invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 13. And then we've got some other passages that we'll go to, ending up with the Lord Jesus Christ and something that He said, and then also John the Baptist. With the Lord's help, we want to wrap this up, this article up tonight. Here in Acts chapter 13, we see this first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. Paul and Barnabas sent out, and we see them coming in verse number 14 to this Antioch and Pisidia. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia. Now, don't get that confused with Antioch and Syria, okay? They were sent out from Antioch and Syria, chapter 13, verse number 1. This is Antioch and Pisidia, Pisidia being a region there in Asia Minor. This city, if we understand it correctly and going from memory, to the east of Iconium, okay, they're going to be going on to Iconium on this journey after they leave this place, verse number 51 of this chapter. And so they come to this place, and we don't have time, we don't want to read all of it, but we just want to touch on some things here and get to the passages. The passages that we have is verse number 48 of this chapter, okay, but I think it does us well to understand some background. They're in the synagogue. That was Paul's practice. Preach to the Jews, or is there in the synagogue on the day of worship. And then one, after they wrapped up those regular things that happened there, there was an opportunity for Paul to speak. In verse number 16, he beckons and says, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." What's he speak to them about? Well, things that they're familiar with. okay? The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt in strangers' lands of Egypt, and with a high arm he brought them out of it. So the going back to the children of Israel, brought Israel out of Egypt, suffered with them for 40 years, destroyed the nations in Canaan, gave them Joshua to distribute the land, gave them judges for the space of 450 years, gave them Samuel the prophet, gave them Saul the king that they so desired, raised up David to be king after him, going down through here. And it says in verse 23, of this man's seed, David, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And so who's he speaking to? One of the synagogues. Synagogue, he's speaking to the Jews, isn't he? He's speaking to that those that are of Israel. He's going to them first in this Antioch of Pisidia. John the Baptist preached his coming, preaching the baptism, verse 24, of repentance to all the people of Israel. That's who John was sent to. John fulfilled his course. He said, I'm not the Christ, but I'm sent before him. Men and brethren, verse 26, he says, from Abraham, salvation has been sent. Okay? And he says here, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. This is it. This is the climax of it. What I'm going to tell you is the pinnacle of the deliverance and salvation of God, not only for his nation, but for all people. And he said, they took the Lord Jesus. They have the scriptures before them every day, every Sabbath it's read. And yet they fulfilled them and disobeyed them, but fulfilled them, if you will, and brought the Lord Jesus to Pilate, verse 28, right? They fulfilled all that was written, took him down from the tree, laid him in a sepulcher, verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. From David, from Abraham, from David, the Lord has raised up a seed, that is Jesus Christ, and he was in Jerusalem, became a man, he was in the nation, and he was slain. He was buried. And God raised him from the dead. What did Paul preach? The gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was seen of them many days in verse number 31. And he says, verse 32, and we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He raised him from the dead. No more to see corruption. Jesus didn't lay in the grave to rot because he couldn't rot because he is divine. He is impeccable, a word that's used. Without sin, without the thought of sin, without the taint of sin, without any descendancy from Adam, but being the Son of God. He is God. But he was in that grave to show that he was dead. In verse 34, he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Psalm after psalm, scripture after scripture being fulfilled. And that's what the apostle was preaching to the Jews. If you ever have an opportunity to witness to a Jew, do it like our brother did. It's the scripture fulfilled. The scripture, the promise given to them first. Given to them first. And I like this in verse 36. David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption. He was laid in the grave, and his body did rot and decompose, but not Jesus. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Through this man, verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Through this man, you can be forgiven. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. It pointed to Christ, but it was not the answer, the law. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Listen to this warning. This is out of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, behold, verse 41, ye despisers and wonder and perish for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Well, what was it that was given to Habakkuk? That's the Lord speaking. I'm going to send the Chaldeans to wreak havoc amongst this nation because of their disobedience. And the Apostle Paul borrows that. He borrows that, if I understand it correctly, to show about Christ. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish. I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. He's going to bring his son. He's going to be born of a virgin. He's going to become a man. He's going to live a perfect life. He's going to give his life on the cross of Calvary. He's going to be buried. And he's going to raise again from the dead. I tell you what, listen, if you don't believe that for the salvation of your soul, you are doomed eternally. But you believe and trust in that Savior that the Lord tells about. A miraculous thing that only God could do. You have hope, and therein is salvation. Hear that. He warns them that way. And when the Jews, verse 42, were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So there were some Gentiles at hand there in the synagogue. And they said, we want to hear more about this. Because see, I think they caught on to this. So much of the ceremonial law, so much of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, which they went over and over and over and read and the other prophets and such as that, there was read and read and read in the synagogues. It's always about Israel. It's always about the Lord dealing with Israel. Oh, there's excerpts in there that spoke about the Savior, and we understand that. But don't you know that they caught on to this here? In verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. There's no distinction there, was there? The Gentiles said, we want to hear about this again next Saturday. They saw hope in that, didn't they? And by him, verse 39, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Whoa, wait, what? You mean what they've been teaching here in the synagogue? You can't be justified by that? But you can through this one that you're preaching, that's the promise of that? Hey, next Saturday, we want to hear more about this. See that? And they heard the warning. Don't let it be that it come right down to you here in front of you and smack dab square on your lap and you reject it. Don't despise the working of the Lord. Don't despise the answer of the Lord in the Scriptures. Don't despise it. And I think it's important for us to understand the context of this Scripture that we know that deals with the electing and the predestinating work of God, that we understand what it's relative to. Put it in its context. Now, when the congregation, verse number 43, was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. They liked what he preached. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city. All of Antioch and Pisidia came to the synagogue to hear the preaching of the apostle. Whoa. They never had a turnout like that turnout. Jews and Gentiles alike. But listen to this. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So, when they saw the big crowd, that bothered them. They had never drawn a big crowd like that. They began to despise the message. They began to blaspheme. They began to contradict. Then Paul and Barnabas, verse number 46, waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. We had to do it, and it was necessary. When we walked into Antioch of Pisidia, it needed to come to you, the Jews, first. Because that was the nation that Paul and Barnabas were of. He tells us. Does he not tell us in Romans? The great care and the desire that he has for his own countrymen. He desires that they might be saved. And so they went to them first. They waxed bold and it said, it's necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, listen to that, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Verse number 26, right? Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God. We turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. That's the Paul understood his calling, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. They praised God for what he had said. They praised God for what he had done. They praised God for the message that his man brought, that they too could be saved. And the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, colon. And Luke writes this, right? Luke's the author of the book of Acts. Under the inspiration of the Lord, that we, his people, might understand. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. You know why? Because they heard the call of the Lord. They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They heard about what God had done with Israel and all that had been given by Moses and all that had been done for years. And they heard and saw and understood how that all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, yes, I believe in him. Yes, I trust in him. And yes, it was the Lord working in them. Now, again, what's a sinner's responsibility? To receive it and believe it? And you know what? You can be sure God's going to take care of his business. Because you know what? Those that the Lord ordained to eternal life, those that he chose, he elected, and those that he destined to be saved in time will be. And that's God's business. But you know what? It happened by the preaching of the word. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. By whom? Well, sure, Paul and Barnabas did so, but they were not able to take it to all the people that those Gentiles took it to. It was published abroad about by those that loved it and by those, no doubt, that hated it. This man, Paul, coming from Antioch over in Syria, preaching this rebel-rouser stuff about what we heard years ago about that joker down in Jerusalem, that fella from Nazareth, that Jesus of Nazareth, that stuff, that junk's popped up again. And others said, I heard a man preach the other day, and he made the Lord used him to make everything clear about what the Lord has done through Israel to bring salvation to us here today through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was published abroad by those that loved it and by those that hated it. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women, chief men of the city, raised persecution against the brethren, kicked them out. They shook off the dust from their feet against them and came into Iconium. They went on to the next city. So we see here that this statement that's contained here in the scripture, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, ordained by God, they did here. Then we move on to our next passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, an epistle to one of the Lord's churches, Thessalonica, there in Greece. In 2 Thessalonians In this chapter, in chapter 2, he deals with this church and shores them up. They think that maybe, it seems like maybe even they have received a false letter that was attributed to Paul, thinking that the day of the Lord had come, the return of the Lord. And he talks to them about that and about some things that happened. The man of sin that needs to be revealed. We don't understand to what extent he needs to be revealed, but the restraining work of the Lord, the mystery of iniquity, verse 7, is already at work. And we see here in verse number 10, listen to this. And with all deceivableness. Okay, let's back up to verse number 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, the man of sin, the Antichrist, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The sinner that is going to be saved has got to come to love the point and understand that they're a sinner. I love that truth. I'm glad to know the truth that I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell. Because see, without that, can't go to the next step. I'm thankful to know that the Lord sent His Son to be a Savior for sinners like me and that He died on the cross of Calvary for me. But those that rejected, those Jews there in Antioch of Pisidia, they said, no. We want our law, we want what we got from Moses, and we don't want anybody upsetting the apple cart. We don't want anybody coming in here and preaching something else that stirs up the people. So we want everything. We want our religion just like we've got it shaped, molded, and packaged. Leave it alone. We don't want something so simple as salvation by one man. And that's the way the Antichrist works. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, speaking in future time, that they should believe a lie. It'll go on and on. That they all might be damned. Here we go again. Who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, disobedience to the Lord. Here we come to our two passages, two verses here. But we are bound, the apostle writes, to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. There it is. Through sanctification, that's word sanctification, big word, but it means to be set apart, to be drawn apart, to be set apart, okay? Don't think the word sanctification in the Scripture doesn't talk about getting better and better. Talks about being more set aside for the Lord. As we are more set aside for the Lord, yes, maybe we will sin less. But we cannot obtain sinless perfection. We can mortify this old flesh more and more, but we won't get him killed off all the way. It's no justification for our iniquity, our disobedience, our sin. It's not at all. And the Lord's made a provision that when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. We can ask Him to forgive us and turn from our sins, truly repent from it. He will forgive us and He will cleanse us. From the beginning hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, the setting apart by the Spirit, the moving and the working, the blowing of the Spirit. John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus. And what's it say? And belief of the truth. Faith. Whereunto He called you by our gospel. No sinner is going to be saved without the preaching of the gospel. No sinner is going to be saved without the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior of sinners. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. It's just folded in here. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. That's that election. That's that predestination. Through sanctification of the Spirit, that's that working in time, that wooing of the Spirit, that working in the life to bring the gospel across the life of that person, to bring one of his children across the life of that one that needs to be saved. That's the working of God, and praise God for it. I'm glad God brought people to me when I wasn't looking for Him. Amen? That's God's great work. From the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Faith. Faith. That's a gift of God. Faith. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, the gospel net, if you will, right? The Lord Jesus told the disciples, I'll make you fishers of men. The children sing it. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. By the net of the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will be glorified with him as we are promised and we read over in the book of Romans. In James chapter 1, in the book of James chapter 1, Brother James, the pastor of the church there at Jerusalem, after our Lord's ascension, we believe that that is the case. He seems to be the leader there. We have one passage here in verse number 18. He's rapid firing different thoughts and different points. And he says here, having spoken about the way sin works in us, speaking about good gifts, that the only good gifts come from the Lord. That's the reason we are to be a thankful people. We've got something eternally good. We've got a blessing physically. It's because of the Lord. Okay? And I'm talking about godly eyes of God evaluation of a thing. You and I are tempted. We might call something good that may not be good for us spiritually. Okay? But every good gift cometh is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I love this. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Begat means he had us. It's good to know God. But I tell you what, it's necessary and better for God to know you. Of his will, that means he wanted to, begat he us with the word of truth. The Lord works in time. Those that would take a hard shell position, they can disavow anything about the moving and working of the Spirit and the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Begat he with the word of truth that we should be of kind of first fruits of his creatures. Jesus fulfilled the gospel. As we've seen in Jude, that the faith, he is the faith once delivered to the saints. It all points to him. It's all about him. And we who were dead are made alive through him. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. You know what? I was doing the radio broadcast today for the month of August, finishing them out. And again, I remind you, pray about this special series regarding the coming of the Lord and the judgment of the Lord and that. We look to do that for a couple months. But I came across a passage there in Mark, chapter 2, where the four brought the one stricken with the palsy. And you know what? They had faith that Jesus could heal their friend or their kin. And you know what you and I need to do? We need to have faith that through the preaching of the Word of God, through the distribution and the telling of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God through that can save sinners. We need to believe that His means will work. Not say, oh, that's kind of weak and that's kind of frail and that just doesn't take anything to an end. It's His design. And we need to believe that. We need to believe that that Word of truth will work. May God help us. Because that's the will of the Lord. And then we come to John chapter 6. This is interesting here. The Lord's dealing with these folks that are after the free lunch. And he deals with them. He keeps taking them back to their need. And just preached on this recently, how the Lord just ratchets it up. He just, through this chapter, he just ratchets it up. And dealing with them. The subject of this chapter is you need Jesus Christ worse than anything. You and I need to partake of Jesus Christ. You and I need to partake of Jesus Christ more. We need Him more than we need food for our bodies. Because without Him, without identifying and partaking of Jesus' body, I have no forgiveness of my sins. And I'm not talking about eating His body. But I identify with him. I need what he did applied to me. Otherwise, I have no hope. I need him. You know, we live in such a mild day, and I'm glad it is. I'm glad we don't have madness and mayhem everywhere that we look, and our children don't see people hanging on crosses out on the road and stuff. I'm glad of that. But you know what? There is an element of that that we have to really, really stretch, and we have to really seek the Lord's help and face to understand what Jesus did for us, because we've never seen that happen. I mean, the majority of us has never seen a man die that way, much less see somebody violently die. And I'm not saying that we need to, but in our country, we've had the blessing, and there's been protection in that. But we just really, it's hard for us. I think it's hard for us to really understand what Jesus has done for us. I needed him to die on that cross for me. He took my place. I should have been nailed there. I should have been taken down and thrown in the ditch. Jesus wasn't, but I should have been. My blood should have run there for my sins. And of course, it wouldn't have done a thing to change any of them. But Jesus, I need his blood applied to me. Otherwise, I have no hope. We need him. And so that's what he's dealing with these people about. And he says here in verse number 44, they have a problem with his deity. He's the bread that came down from heaven. The whole thing about manna was pointing to him, is what he's told them about. And they murmur at him in verse number 41. And they say, well, this is Jesus. His daddy's name's Joseph. His mother, we know them too. How's he say he comes down from heaven? Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Listen, here's our verse. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up the last day. See how bad we need the Lord? We need his drawing, convicting hand and power upon us. Sinner, you need the Lord. Because unless the Father draws, there won't be a sinner saved. But don't take that and misunderstand it where you ball up and say, well, if God's not going to do anything, I'm just not going to be nothing. Listen, look what the Lord's done. He sent his Son. He's authored and put together his word. He's established churches to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by which sinners are saved. You don't reject it? You do reject it, you'll die and go to hell and burn there forever until you're taken up for judgment and cast into the lake of fire. Want to wait on God to do something? He's done a lot. He's done what's needed. Jesus has completed and fulfilled it, everything that's needed for sinners to be saved. But no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And you know what? A promise. I will raise him up at the last day. And praise God that this life isn't the end. Amen. But there will be a day with the Lord. And then in John 3, hallmark passage here, they challenge John the Baptist about everybody going to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, if we can get a hold of this passage, it'll help us. You know, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about me looking good. It's not about you looking good. It's about us obeying the Lord and fitting right in where he's got for us to be. That's what it's all about. Every time somebody asks us about the work of the Lord and the gospel of the Lord and the church and the church work and all that, we ought to be pointing, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I know we can hurt each other, and I know we can offend one another, and I know that we can say things that we shouldn't say, and I know that can happen. Offenses will come. And the Lord's given us how to deal with them, and we need to obey him in dealing with them. But I can't help but think, too, that there's an element in that, that when we are offended, I'm thinking about me, rather than thinking about the Lord. Did not the Lord have every opportunity to be offended? They only killed him. And they were going to leave him hang on the cross until they were ordered to take him down because of the politics, and they would have thrown him in the ditch. But Joseph and Nicodemus were touched by the Lord, and they came and buried our Lord. The Lord had ample room to be offended, didn't he? And so may the Lord help us that we keep our eyes on the Lord and we point it all to the Lord. And John is challenged by this, some of his disciples. He said, that one that you bear us witness about, the same baptizes, verse 26 of John 3, and all come to him. They're all going to him, John, after all your hard work. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Do you know something about the Bible? Do you know anything about the Lord? Do you know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know anything about His church? Do you know anything about His Word and His Scripture and His truth and His way? Do you know anything about that? Praise God for it. Because He's the one that's given it to us. It's not us. It's His good blessing upon us. Do you pray? Do you and I pray that we might know more? Well, the Lord Jesus says plainly, we have not because we ask not. You want to know more about the Scripture? Ask. Ask. Brother James says that the Lord's got all kinds of wisdom. And He doesn't upbraid those that come to Him asking Him for it. Amen? So no man can receive anything. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Election and predestination, wonderful truths of God and His great working, a testimony to the great depravity of man. Without the Lord working, none would be saved. But praise God, He has worked. And praise God, there will be a people. There will be those saved. And praise God, He's got a means. And may we as His people believe His truth. You know, we're here in time and we don't know the beginning from the end, but the Lord does. And we've been given a command to walk and to be obedient to the Lord. And we've been given the opportunity to pray that the Lord will help us. And what the Lord's given us to do here in time is what we need to be about and do. And don't let these doctrines confuse you about Let them not confuse us about what we are commanded to follow and obey. But let us believe these as the Lord's given them to us. It's the truth. And let us obey the Lord and everything He's given us to do and pursue. And what we don't understand and where we try to reconcile and get confused, may you and I just leave that up to the Lord. Amen. And take what He says plainly in His Scripture. And as He said to Matthew, as I mentioned, or that there in Mark chapter 2, follow.